Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We are glad you're joining us today. If you would like to learn more about our church, check out our website at r4sq.org. Now stay tuned for today's message. Enjoy, and God bless. Good morning. Wow. Yeah, worship was just wow. Yeah. Well, we are 7 days away from Christmas. So can we just give Jesus a huge hand clap? Come on. One of the biggest historical moments of history where God sends Jesus to the earth for us. Jesus is the reason for this season. And I'm just so excited that we are celebrating him this morning. And I honor Pastor Huey for allowing me to share this portion of my story. I also want to honor Pastor Angela Waite and Pastor Angela Dollar, my spiritual mamas. God has used them tremendously since I've been in this church for about a year and a half now, and I'm just very, very grateful for their leadership. And also want to give honor to Josh and Angel Hudson, our next-gen team here. It's been a joy to serve with them, to reach the next generation of believers with the gospel and with God's kingdom and his principles. So I'm thoroughly excited to be up here, and I thank God for the opportunity. So as Pastor Huey said, Christmas is a season of miracles, the miracle birth, the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. It's a miraculous time. And I remember when I was a kid, one of the first gifts I got that I remember was the Alphabet woodblock case. And so, like, in this case, there were, like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, different colors. There was a number on the other side. It was really, really neat, and I loved it. And as a young man, one of my favorite TV shows to watch was Wheel of Fortune. Anybody watch Wheel of Fortune? Oh, man, I love some Wheel of Fortune. And when I was a kid, I used to get in trouble because I used to sit too close to the TV, and it would mess up my eyes, but I would just want to be there. I would have my blocks lined up, Mom, and just play along with the game, with the puzzles. And I had them all lined up the way I wanted it. It was beautiful colors. I mean, it was very, very structured, very organized. I had a very, very, very good memory of it. And my dad told me one time that I was screaming at the TV one time while Wheel of Fortune was on. I was just screaming. I was upset. I was mad. And my dad said, "Son, what's wrong? What's wrong? Dad, I'm missing the letter L." He thought like I had, you know, ate something wrong or I swallowed something or I was just having a fit, but I had lost the letter L because my mind had really calculated everything that needed to be there. And I just had a really strong memory. Today I'm gonna share with you a story about my memory. And in this story about my memory, you're gonna see the miraculous power of God. Because through this journey of trust and God teaching me how to trust and hope in him and have expectation of him, he taught me that through a journey of memory loss. And so today, I'm gonna be talking to you about the sealed memory. The sealed memory. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, we're gonna look at verses 13 through 14, and the verses will be behind me on the wall. Those watching online, welcome as well, and looking forward to giving the word of the Lord to you all, our online congregation as well. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll be reading the New King James Translation. I'm going to start at verse 13. We're going to end at verse 14. "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed." Everybody say sealed.
Sealed,
sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. And the verse reads, "The memory," everybody say memory. "The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot." Back in 2010, I graduated from Summerton Christian School, and I received an academic scholarship to UAH right down the road. And I was a very excited freshman in college. Now, I had been raised in Christian school, Christian home, Christian everything, Christian food, Christian whatever you want to label it. It was just Christian everything. My mother and father really instilled in me a heart to follow after God. But when I got to college, I'm gonna be honest, I became one of those statistics for a season where I wondered, where I wanted to try some stuff, wanted to see what the world was like after being in this Christian bubble for 18 years. And when I got to college, I met an old friend that I had a football camp with, wide receivers football camp named Storm. We were at another camp called Boys State. And Storm was a big guy, 6'5". He was Latino, really cool, loved his heart. And Storm convinced me and talked me in to becoming a cheerleader. Now, you got to understand the context. I played basketball and football. So in my mind, cheerleading is like, no, man. Because it's like, that's not a real sport. It is, by the way. But it's not a real sport in my mind. But he convinced me of it. There was scholarship money available. So I said, you know what? Why not? I learned how to flip. I learned how to stunt, throw girls up. I'm not going to do a flip today because I don't have that ability anymore. But it was a great learning experience. And during that time, becoming a cheerleader, I started to party. I started drinking alcohol, skipping class, trying to be cool, a people pleaser. And my grades started to slip. One of my mentors in high school told me to find a church home, a local church home. And I didn't. I did not for the first year and a half of my freshman year at UAH. And so in that process, I put Jesus on the shelf and I began to live a prideful life. Even though knowing the gospel, even though knowing Jesus, being filled with his spirit, I chose to wonder. I chose to experiment. And this is going to bring to my first point, because today I'm really going to talk about the growth of trust, from trust to confidence, but then to expectation. First point is this: during our journey as a follower of Jesus, God draws our hearts into his territory of transformation. Now, a lot of that times, that territory of transformation may not look like what we think it should be. It may be something that requires humility or that humbles us or that brings us to a place where we're only looking up because we've been brought down so low. Are you tracking with me? This is very important to understand when it comes to growing in our trust in Jesus. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, a very familiar passage says this: trust in the Lord with what? With what? All your heart. Not half, not three-fourths, not 1/16. All your heart. And lean not on what? Your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Some translations say, I'll acknowledge and submit to him, and he shall direct your path. So again, UAH, cheerleader, put Jesus on the shelf, and I am living a prideful life. The result of that is a low GPA. That's one of the results of that. And so I had a very low GPA, so I'm struggling to come back and really pull that up. Trying to go to class, got an academic counselor to help me pull my GPA back up. And when it was in this process, I was really trying to find God again, Pastor Huey. Really trying to seek his heart again. And God, hearing my heart, because I knew I needed to find a local church home. I needed to be plugged in. I needed to be planted somewhere. To cultivate the call God had on my life. And God brought me to Morningside Baptist Church through a friend named Libby Barber. Now, at UAH, they have co-ed dorms. You have, you know, guys on one side of the hallway, and then you have the ladies on the other side of the hallway. And the young lady's name that God used was Libby Barber. And I came home from a cheerleading practice. We had two days because we had competitions that we would travel to. And so Libby was making orange apricot chicken. I put this in my notes, all caps, because that was some good chicken. Orange apricot chicken, man. And I'm just walking to my dorm. And what's that smell? Oh my God. And I knock on the door. I don't even know who she is. And I said, hey, what you cooking? She's like, orange apricot chicken. Can I come by? I don't know her. She doesn't know me. And she's like, sure, I'm having some friends over. Bring your dorm buddies over and we'll have orange apricot chicken. And so we walked in and had orange apricot chicken. It was wonderful. But it was in that setting of friendship building that Libby shared with me about her church, where she was going at the time. And I decided to connect at Morningside Baptist Church. And it was in that place where God began to teach me what discipleship really means. I had a wonderful mentor named Darren Lightfoot. And it was in that time that Darren saw the call of God on my life. And he began to challenge me and push me and put pressure on me. Hey, where are you at? Why are you at that party? What are you doing? He loved me. Did you hear that? He loved me. He loved me enough to tell me the truth. And it was in that process that I began to walk in the calling to be a pastor. But it was also in that moment that I got a girlfriend that I should not have gotten. And it was a tug of war between the things of God and the things of this world. Back and forth. Now she was, at the time, she was a cheerleader as well. So again, the context is not very healthy. And so it was in this moment, late November of 2011. As cheerleaders, we do a lot of power lifting. We do a lot of explosive type exercises. And one thing that we do to warm up is called a pyramid. Now, a pyramid is where you stack people on top of each other. It's very cool, but it's also very dangerous if you're not careful. And one thing my cheer coach taught me is to always bear hug someone who falls or someone that may lose their balance. You gotta bear hug and create like a cushion. You basically become a pillow as a safety precaution. So we're doing this pyramid called a 2-2-1. Basically, you have two people on the base, two more on their shoulders, and then we catch one person in the middle. And we were getting ready to go to South Carolina for a competition. And we throw up the flyer. She hits the stunt. It's perfect. It's clean. Everything's going great. It's like clockwork. We do this. We got this. We're just warming up, man. The stunt shifted forward. The flyer lost her balance, but then she regained her composure. Again, as a stunt, you kind of got to follow where the stunt is going. So I'm here holding the ankles of the stunt. So it's like a bridge. And so I'm holding it. And I remember she toppled again and she began to fall backward. And we had already stepped forward. She's already fallen backward. So I'm already too late. But I want to catch her, right? Because 12 feet drop on a spring floor is not very fun. Does not feel good. I step back. I'm too late. Her back hits my head. Full body weight. We both fall on the ground. Now remember, this is a spring floor, so the whiplash is not good. Her full body weight on my head. The next few moments changed my life. I had a severe concussion. And memories of my life, my family, who I was, begin to slowly fade. And my memory began to slip away. I remember the ride to the hospital. And at the time, people were asking me questions. They say, hey, do you know your name? Do you know where you are? And it was just like a fog. Memories just leaving. We got to the hospital, they asked me my name, I didn't even know my own name. I had to pull out my wallet and get my license to tell them who I was. Point number two, in your journey with Jesus, it's in the midst of icky suffering that we discover intimate security. It's in the midst of icky suffering that we discover intimate security. I was at the hospital, they did a CAT scan, they did an MRI, they couldn't see anything wrong with my brain. My brain was healthy. I was a young man. I was okay, but my brain was not. The memories were disconnected. I couldn't even remember my own mother when she came into the hospital room. Didn't recognize her face or her voice. But it was in this process of healing, it was in this process of losing short and long-term memory that God was healing me of pride and bringing me back to a place of humility, a place of trust, a place of hope again in Him. So I went home to Birmingham, Alabama, and again, all my memory is gone. There was only five things that I remember when I left the hospital. I remember my little brother, David Calhoun. I remembered that UAH was a college. I remembered that the cheer coach was short. He was about 5'8", so I remember that he was short in height. The fourth thing I remember was basketball, but the fifth thing was Jesus. that I was in a relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sealed memory. Sealed memory. The number five biblically represents repentance and grace. And he left me with five. He left me with five. Again, memories were gone. Memories were disconnected. So I'm back home in Birmingham, Alabama, where I was raised. And I'm at my house. I brought my journals today, my recovery journals. I'm going to read a few passages, or not passages, a couple entries of that, what that process looked like. But again, I couldn't remember anything. My dad at the time, which I didn't remember, he brought a tangerine to me. And the day before, I had an apple. You know, he said, okay, Aaron, this is fruit. This is fruit. You eat this, you know, fruit. The next day, he gives me a tangerine. My brain is thinking, okay, this is fruit. Tangerine. This is fruit. And you know, I'm about to eat it. And my dad's like, no. And he just knocks it out of my hand. He's like, no, son, you have to peel a tangerine. That was the extent of damage that had happened in my mind. A lot of elementary knowledge, a lot of intermediate knowledge was just disconnected. And so the process of healing began to take place. And I was really seeking the Lord, but I was also frustrated. I said, God, why did you let this happen? Why'd you put me on the shelf, son? It's in the midst of icky suffering that we discover intimate security. And so memories would come back here and there. They would show me pictures. Friends from Huntsville, friends from Birmingham would come to my home and they would share memories. And it was hard because they would share these great stories and these wonderful memories, and I could not connect or relate with them at all. It was very disheartening sometimes. Some memories would come back during a conversation. It would be painful. It would feel like someone would be carving a pumpkin in my mind. Some memories would just come back from me just waking up from a nap. Some memories would come back from me reading a book, from just sitting. Because the brain is a very different organ in the body. It heals differently than our other organs. But it was during that time that my trust in God began to transform, and God intentionally begins to fill the gap. But God didn't heal me quickly. He healed me slowly for a purpose. And so there was a neuropsychologist. His name is Dr. Joseph Ackerson. And it was when I went to him in Birmingham. He has a private practice in Birmingham. It was during that time that I began to see that God was about to transform my trust to confidence. My first session with Dr. Joe Ackerson, he told me that that was not my first time seeing him. And I had no idea what he was talking about. Doctor, it's good to see you. He just walked in. Come on up here, brother. We got a seat for you right here. I had seen him before because I had a concussion in football my senior year, and I had seen him prior, but at the time I didn't remember because I just, that memory had not been connected. And so our first session together, he took a diagnostic and basically told him what happened from what the cheerleaders told my parents to tell him. And there was a statement that Dr. Ackerson made where that release of hope, that release of truth transformed my trust in God to a confidence in God. And Dr. Ackerson said this, Aaron, you may not remember who you are, but you know whose you are. And it was in that moment. He doesn't know, but it was an unintentional impartation into my spirit. He was an unashamed Christian in the marketplace. You got to get this. You have to be a release of hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you just stand on who God is in every context, he will use you. And God used you, Dr. Ackerson. He used you in a powerful way, my friend. And so I'm going to give you a quick example of an analogy of what this looks like when we go from God teaching us to trust him, and God teaching us to be confident in him. So a born-again believer, I think of it as a newborn baby. You know, you're out and you see new things. You're grabbing the new things of God, and you're learning how to walk, and you're fascinated by the power of God. You're starting to read scripture, and so now as a little born-again baby in Christ, you start to crawl a little bit. You start to learn to take steps, and you're focused on a target. And before you know, you start growing in Christ, and you start by his grace, start learning how to kind of walk with him and learn to be more obedient. And you learn to do the things of God, and you learn to really share his word and be more bold and be courageous. And then that place from trust to confidence. When you go from confidence and cross over into expectation. It's the place of expectation that breeds impartation. And before we know, I start calling someone up to follow me. Lazarus, come here. Come here, Lazarus. Because my confidence in Christ, my next point is this. God wants to use our confidence in Christ to create a curiosity about Christ. And before you know it, people say, hey, come on, I'm following Jesus. Come on, follow me, man. And Lazarus starts coming with me. Come here, Miss Esther. Stand up. Curiosity in Christ. And this was happening as God was healing my mind. I'm on Facebook. I'm sharing with people, and they're seeing Jesus in the healing process. Come on, follow me. Follow me, Mark. And so we're following Jesus, and the confidence is starting to change and transform. Here, come follow me. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 says this, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So your confidence in Jesus begins to stir a curiosity about who Jesus is. I got texts like, man, why are you so dependent on God? Why aren't you mad? Follow me, Pastor Jordan. Why are you so mad? Why are you so mad at this process? Why are you frustrated? I'm really not. I'm just trusting God to do his work. But then here's the cool thing about confidence. When God takes your confidence to expectation, y'all stand here for a second. When we're confident in God, it becomes attractive to Jesus.
That's right.
But then when he gives us, he wants to also release it to others. And impartation just simply means you give to someone else which was first given to you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is our living hope, the one we declare he will come back. Love God, love people. I love this one. God is bigger. You all can have a seat. Thank you. We give what's been given to us. And that's what was happening during my suffering. God was allowing me to give to others during my process of healing the things and the principles of Jesus. But my mind wasn't completely healed yet. Now, on December 17th, God brought a huge portion of memory back to my mind. I remembered preschool to senior year of high school. God brought it back over the night. Now here's the thing though. I was aware, Pastor Huey, of a gap in my mind. I was aware that there was a gap. Okay, preschool, high school. All right, awesome, Lord, but what about the last 2 years, 18 to 20? What happened here? So there was a gap in my mind. Dr. Ackerson called my diagnosis renegade amnesia. Think of a back door that's jammed and memory's trying to get to it and connect in certain parts of your brain so the short-term and long-term memory will still be there so you can recollect and remember the memories. But the back door was jammed. But when God healed that part of my mind from preschool to high school, but there was a gap left, I made a very serious mistake in my healing process. And this leads to point number 5. Don't let your confidence decay into cockiness. Don't let your confidence decay into cockiness. Again, remember, there's a gap in my mind and I'm aware of it. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. I'm gonna read this to you because this is so important to understand. When we walk in a confidence in God, we cannot decay into cockiness. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says this, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear," listen, "when heat comes. Even in the heat, its leaf will still be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from unyielding fruit." Verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." During my healing process, I would do videos. My dad encouraged me to do videos and log and do entries. And my dad was a surveyor at the time, and he also did flooring. He would do carpet and tile. And my dad said, "Aaron, I went to a job today." He came back from work. He shared this with me. "Aaron, I shared one of your videos of you sharing about what God is doing in your life through your injury and through your healing process. And that lady gave her life to Jesus on the spot." Fruitful in the midst of heat. Trust, to confidence, to expectation. But I need to be honest. That gap was bugging. It was bugging me. And I took the healing process into my own hands. I said, "Dad, where was I the last 2 years?" "You were in Huntsville, son." "Dad, we got to go to Huntsville." "Son, you need to stay home and rest. You need to stay here in Birmingham. You need to just continue to rest, let your mind heal." "No, Dad, we need to get to Huntsville." Knock on the door. People from Huntsville were coming to my home to visit. Their name were Donna and Richard Williams. Her daughters were there as well. I was good friends with them. And I'm thinking, oh man, this is like Acts chapter 10 with Peter. You know, the Holy Spirit says, "Go down, for there's some people there now who need to see you." So I'm just thinking, okay, yeah, this is great. Y'all from Huntsville, take me to Huntsville. God never told me to move. And so I'm going to tell you now about my disobedience to Huntsville. I get to Huntsville. I say, "Y'all take me everywhere that I've been. Take me there. Just let me just be in the atmosphere. And then God will bring the rest." Man, I was in Huntsville for a week. About 8 to 9 memories came back. I was frustrated. But see, I was leaning on my own understanding. I was leaning on what I thought should be the finishing work that God was doing. And I took things into my own hands. And I was disobedient. I moved. He never told me to go. So I come home frustrated. I come home just mad at God. Like, "God, you should have, it was perfect, God. It logically made sense. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't let your confidence decay in the cockiness." I'm gonna read you this entry when I got back from Huntsville. I was so frustrated. Let's see here. I was in the second one. Sorry, forgive me for that. Here we go. "I remember playing cards and being taught by a guy named Ty Bui. I also remember the first time I went to their house. It was Sabrina's surprise 18th birthday party. I remember this too, but I also know that something just doesn't seem right. I was in the place I was supposed to be, but what I thought would happen did not happen. God, why did you do this? What are you trying to show me?" "2 weeks later, Darren from Morningside Baptist sent me a text, said, 'Hey, and you may not remember this, and you probably don't, but you actually paid $100 for a conference called Strength to Stand Conference.'" And it was a conference for youth at the time. And at the time, back at Morningside, I was a youth intern. I was helping the youth pastor. And he had said, "Hey, you've already paid for this. It's still available to you if you want to go." Now, again, I'm frustrated still at God. I'm just like, I'm not going back to Huntsville now. Why would I go back to Huntsville when you didn't move? But God moved in my heart, and he spoke to my mom, and she said, "You need to go. There's something there for you." Again, trust, confidence, expectation, leads to obedience. And so my mom sent me and my sister, because there was another spot available. We go to the Strength to Stand conference. It was an amazing conference, powerful conference. They were talking about how we should emerge and engage the world with the power of God. And they talked about how Peter emerged when the Holy Spirit fell, and he engaged the 3,000. And I remember talking with Darren at the conference, because at this time I was making new memories with people that I used to know that I thought I didn't know, but they knew me. Now, so I'm rebuilding those connections, and it's awkward, it's weird, but God was doing a great thing. And I remember talking with Darren right before the last session. I said, Darren, I've come to a place now that I'm really gonna relinquish control of this process. I'm gonna truly let go. And if God brings it all back, this 2-year gap, praise God. Even if he doesn't, I expect him to still be God. I expect that. And that was my declaration of expectation. That night there was a concert held by Lecrae, and Dr. Atkinson told me, whenever the brain is healing, loud noises and computer activity, cell phone activity, it kind of hinders the brain from healing effectively and efficiently. And so I decided to not go to the concert with the youth that night. And that concert was like from 6 p.m. to like midnight. And so I told Darren, I'm just gonna stay in the hotel room. You guys have a great time and just, you guys enjoy it. And so this is where God shows up. This is the best way I can define this moment. It's so surreal. It was a peaceful fatigue that came over me in that hotel room. A peaceful fatigue. And I was like, man, I'm tired all of a sudden. Why am I tired? I was just full of energy. Why am I exhausted? And I text Darren and say, hey man, I'm tired, going to bed. Put my phone down, turned it off. Man, they get back from the concert around midnight. They hooping, they loud. Lecrae was awesome. And they just going at it. They are just loud. And I'm gone. Like, I am not moving. And they tried to wake me up. They were like, Aaron, wake up, man. Let me tell you about Lecrae. Wake up, Aaron, wake up. Wasn't budging. Now, it's funny now, but our youth pastor at the time, he said, look, if someone in the hotel room does not wake up after you shove them, come get me. They thought I was dead. But God was doing a deep surgery in my mind. 5:30 a.m. in the morning, God did a deep sleep miracle. I remember waking up, getting ready for the last worship session for that conference. I walk over to the sink, turn the water on. I'm thanking God for the day. I'm thanking God for his new grace and new mercies. And as I'm splashing the water on my face, memories from that 2-year gap began to pop in my mind like popcorn. It was just coming, and it was coming. It was overwhelming. It was wonderful. It was awesome. And I was just full. I was like, oh, I remember. And like I shouted that, just like that. I remember. Over a 7-week period, God completely healed my mind. I'm shaking people out of the bed like, man, you gotta wake up. God just healed my mind. I was just shaking people. It was an incredible, a wonderful, joyous moment. Yes. A 7-week period. 7-week period of God teaching me to trust, to be confident, then to have a spirit and an attitude of expectation. And so, my takeaway was that God just didn't bring back good memories. He brought back every memory. The good and the bad, the ugly and the not so pretty. Even my sin. But he did that to remind me that I was sealed. A sealed memory. My mind was touched. My soul was touched. But my spirit, man. My spirit, man, was sealed by the Holy Spirit. 2 years later, God brought back another memory that Dr. Atkinson told me. A lot of times, pain is a memory that the brain will put in the back burner. But God let me remember the incident itself, the very moment of pain. And in that, I come to a place where anything that is good or bad, I'm at a place of expectation now. I've grown from trust, I've grown from confidence, and I want to stay in a place of expectation because that's where the miraculous happens. That's only where the place of where miracles take place. Dr. Ackerson, would you join me on the platform? But the thing about expectation is that usually it's an impartation that someone gives to you. And so, Dr. Ackerson, let me first do this. I'm gonna let you share just a little bit, just from your perspective. But I wanna read to him a statement of honor God told me to release to him for his obedience, for his willingness to say what he said in our first session, and then to walk with me through that process and the appointment to Jesus, even when I didn't completely remember who I was. But at the end of the day, that's all I needed anyway. Jesus is my everything. So what were some of the, just share your perspective when we connected, when the injury happened, and you know, what did you see in the process for you?
Well, I remember our first interaction after the first injury when you came in, and there's a beauty in your soul that struck me. So I knew whose you were because it came through. And when you came back to see me after the second injury, you were lost. And I knew you needed to find your way back, but that you would find your way back if you had the trust.
Yeah.
And so all I did was not get in the way. All I did was allow you to trust.
Well, I thank you, Dr. Ackerson, for your obedience and for your willingness to be unashamed of Jesus in your field of work. Mm-hmm. You know, as a neuropsychologist, you see a lot of head injuries. You see a lot of hurt people. And the willingness to shine and be that light, I honor you and I respect you. And I want to read this to you. I might cry. Dr. Ackerson, I want you to know that I appreciate your services rendered through my head injury that caused a severe head concussion, as you called it, renegade amnesia. I want to personally give you this public thank you for your commitment to being unashamed of Jesus Christ in the marketplace as a neuropsychologist in Birmingham, Alabama. Thank you for never giving up on me despite seeing the brokenness of my mental capacity. Thank you for never judging me when I struggled with elementary knowledge. Thank you for never pushing me too hard or too fast on my road to full recovery. Thank you for keeping me accountable to my recovery goals. I honor you today, Dr. Ackerson, for celebrating small victories with me and for being solemn and respectful in my mental failures. Last and certainly not least, thank you for the impartation of confidence in our Lord, King, and Savior, Jesus Christ, when you spoke the following statement to me in our first session together. Aaron, you may not know who you are, but you know whose you are. I love you, Dr. Jackson. I thank God for you.
Thank you for being up here today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to end this with obedience. As in an example, when I gave my wristbands of my Jesus wristbands to those in the audience, God has told me to impart into you a faith and impart into you a confidence in God. If Pastor Hugh and Pastor Andrew will join me on the platform, they're going to put a prayer of impartation on the wall behind me. And I want us to just go ahead and let's all stand. Let's all stand. And we're going to read this prayer together, but then I want you all to get into our prayer circles. What are you expecting God to do? Where are you in that journey? Where are you in that place?
If I could say one thing before we pray. There was two significant numbers that Aaron shared. The first was 5, which is God's number of grace. The second was 7, which is God's number of completion. And what I believe I hear the Lord saying, because I know there are some of you here right now, you're facing what looks like a dire situation. God will say to you, His grace will sustain you until His work is complete in you. Do not ever let go of the fact that God's grace is with you. And no matter what you're facing right now, no matter what you're having to walk through right now, His grace will keep you.
Yes.
Until His work is complete that He's doing in you.
Let's read this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness, grace, and glory you consistently display in my life. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. And thank you for raising Him from the dead 3 days later so that I can know you in a real personal relationship with you through Christ. Thank you for sealing me with the Holy Spirit and baptizing me with a passion and fire for you and for others. Abba, I open up my heart to receive an impartation of trust, confidence, and expectation in you. You are my God. You are my healer. You are my hope. You are worthy of my trust. And you are my resting place. Help me to know that you care about every detail of my life. I surrender to you now. Come, Holy Spirit. Please come into my heart and come into my mind with a fresh impartation of trust, confidence, and expectation in who you are, what you have promised in your word, and your great life-changing love and grace for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If God has made an impact in your life through Restoration Church, we would love to hear your story. So please email us your testimony at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week and God bless.